I mentioned that I did an interview with Mike Huckabee the other day, former Governor Mike Huckabee. We're going to play that interview right now. It's maybe about 10, 15 minutes long at the most, so I might have a few moments at the end of the interview to just make a couple comments on a few things that I didn't get to speak to Governor Huckabee about. Our time was very limited. But listen to this, and then I'll come back on afterwards. Well, our next guest on the program here today certainly doesn't need much of an introduction. Many people in our listening audience are very familiar with former Governor Mike Huckabee. They watch his program on Fox News, and they also listened right here on Christian Talk 660 to his radio program when he had his radio program as well. So he's a former governor of Arkansas and a 2008 presidential candidate. Another candidate that was running in that race is the current occupant of the White House. We may mention him a couple of times during the program today, but let me mention that Governor Huckabee has a brand new book that has come out. I think he has 11 books already, and this is the latest one. The title of it is God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy. And joining us now is former Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor Huckabee, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be with you. And, you know, when people hear that title, they may think that they're getting a recipe book of Southern cuisine, but I assure them there's a serious message here in this book, and it's not about not about really cooking at all. It's about the culture of America.
Well, I noticed that looking through the book myself, that opening chapter is something obviously that is near and dear to my heart. But the opening chapter, if you would just give us a little bit of a summary of this chapter. But it says the new American outcasts, and then it goes on, has a colon, says people who put faith and family first. Are they the new outcasts in our current society?
It sure seems that way. Think about any television program on network television today in a sitcom that portrays a Christian, godly family in a positive way. And the answer is there are none. Mm. Because today the sitcoms, if they portray people of faith at all, it's in a very negative way. They're either angry, judgmental, hateful, bigoted, charlatan types, or they're just imbeciles. Mm. And it's very offensive to me that as a Christian, even though we represent an extraordinary large part of the population, you would think that there just aren't many of us, and the few that there are of us are intellectually inferior to the elites who run the country. Mm. And the premise of the book, the big picture, is just that there is a disconnect between the people who live in the bubbles of New York, Washington, and Hollywood, as opposed to those who live out here among the Bubbas. So it's what I call the difference between Bubbleville and Bubbaville.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've lived in both, and I take it that the general idea of the book then is your experience in both of those two settings. And what's your conclusion then to living in both of those two settings?
You know, Kevin, one of the things I saw coming to New York every week to do the television show for Fox was that there's this huge difference in the way that people look at life and the way they view things. And this disconnect is really the inspiration of the book. Mm. And so when I tried to describe to people where I lived, and I would say, well, I live in a different part of the country and things are different, I said, I live in the land of God, guns, grits, and gravy, because what that means for me is that I live among people who don't think it's weird to believe in God, who don't think it's strange to give God a dime out of every dollar we earn and a tithe because we feel like that's our level of stewardship and responsibility. That doesn't make us members of a cult. Mm. It makes us people who are generous and who are faithful to what we have. It's not odd that people around me would own firearms, know how to use them, and be prepared to use them if someone attacked their family. Mm-hmm. And even the things we eat, I humorously say, have you ever tried to get a bowl of grits in Manhattan? Well, don't, because nobody knows what they are.
Yeah.
And those of us who live in the South, I mean, there's just nothing better than cheese grits, maybe throw some shrimp in, and there's so many ways to make them, but it's a staple. And it's not so much about just the South, but the Midwest, and let's just say all of flyover country, because that's really where the disconnect comes from those of us who live in the central hinterland flyover America and the people who live in those three bubbles of New York, Washington, and Hollywood.
Mm. You talk about that disconnect even more so and articulate it really well under the second chapter in the book that speaks about guns and why we have them. And you articulate the idea that the people who don't have guns and that are pushing so hard for these gun free zones, they think the people who own guns are completely weird and out of sync. And the people who have guns and responsibly have guns and so forth, they feel that the people who want these gun-free zones don't get it and are completely out of touch with living the real life. Talk a little bit about what you have to say in that chapter.
I think it's very amazing to me that people, for example, in New York, and even people that I worked with at Fox on my show, if I would talk about guns when that issue would come up, and I would just casually mention, you know, that I owned quite a few guns, that kind of shocked them, almost to the point that they looked at me like, oh, gosh, are we working with a serial killer? And when they something came up about like an AR-15, about how scary they were and how dangerous they were, and I said, well, actually, I own several of them, and the AR-15 is not as powerful a rifle as the one I used to deer hunt with. And again, they were just shocked. And I would explain to them, I said, look, you're reacting to the appearance of that gun, not to its lethality, because the fact is, it is a very powerful gun. I'm not minimizing it. But it is less potent and powerful than is the Weatherby 300 mag that I hunt with that could pull down an elephant. And I said, you know, this is what I find so amazing is most of the people there had never owned a gun. They'd never fired a gun. They had no idea what it would feel like, what it would be like. They can't imagine that they would ever have one in their home. And I can't imagine living in a home where there weren't quite a few of them around.
You had, you know, we just had the release of the film Sniper and American Sniper. And there's people now that have been saying that, you know, that we shouldn't be celebrating this at all, that, you know, because of the guns involved and, you know, we're celebrating a killer. What would you say?
Well, I've seen the film, and if Bradley Cooper does not get an Oscar for that performance and depiction of Chris Kyle, then there is no justice in this world. But the fact is, it is a very respectful portrayal and a reminder that the people in our military are human beings that are asked to do some incredibly difficult things. And they do it not because they like to hurt people or kill people. They do it because they want to protect the people, not only us here in the homeland, but to protect their own fellow soldiers who are on any given moment about to be shot or blown up by a suicide bomber who has no respect for life, no sense of value, no propriety whatsoever for what's right and what's wrong. So I'm just amazed that anyone would take the memory of this great, true patriot and hero, Chris Kyle, who served his country honorably and ably, and do anything to besmirch his memory and his honor.
Let me ask you about one more chapter in your book before I follow up with a question of my own, a little bit related to the book, but a little bit off topic there. But the third chapter speaks about the culture of crude. And if there's one chapter, I think, that has gotten more airtime or in the news media than any of the other ones here, I would say it's this one, the culture of crude. And in there, you articulate just what the current status of our culture is today on our television sets and in social media and so forth. Tell our listening audience what they'll find when they read that particular chapter of your book.
You know, Kevin, this has gotten a lot of attention. And interestingly, most of it is being written and commented on by people who have read what the news media said that I wrote rather than the people who actually read the chapter. But what I try to point out is that there is a level of vulgarity and crudeness in our culture today that is disturbing. It objectifies people. It takes things that are sacred and things that should be considered wholesome and turns them into something that is trashy. And there's no honor in that. And in some cases, I mean, I specifically reference some artists. One of them that's got a lot of attention is Beyonce, whose performance on the Grammys in the song was just incredibly over the top. And my point is, she's a great talent. She doesn't have to do this in order to be successful. And then, even though I acknowledged her talent, I questioned why she would go to that level. And then I also complimented the president and first lady for their parenting. I think they're good parents, except I point out that the president himself, who is a big pal of Jay-Z and Beyonce, said in an interview with Glamour magazine that he would not listen to the lyrics of Beyonce's music with his own teenage daughter because it embarrassed him. That was my point. If a father is embarrassed to listen to something with his teenage daughter, then should his teenage daughter be listening to it? That's the whole issue. I mean, I would think that a parent would say, if this is so risque and so vulgar that I wouldn't listen to it with you, then maybe you shouldn't listen to it without me.
You know, the Super Bowl will be coming up soon, and you know, what parent has not lamented the fact that you basically have to shut the television off for the halftime show because they have become almost pornographic as well, and just a disturbing in nature so often. I hope that, I don't know what they're planning for this year, but I certainly hope it's not going to be like previous years have been on the Super Bowl. Let me ask you, you mentioned the president. I wanted to ask you at least one question here on that. We're pre-recording this program on MLK Day, and I wanted to ask you, is the country more united today after 6 years of the first African-American president being in the White House, or has the president missed a golden opportunity to unite the country?
I think, sadly, the president not only has missed the opportunity, but between the president and Eric Holder, the attorney general, I think they've actually made things much worse for race relations, because when a person is elected to the presidency, it's kind of hard to say that, gee, there's a glass ceiling for people of color. I just think it sort of takes that argument away. It doesn't mean that there aren't still some racists here and there, or that it's a view that a lot of people may have. But you can't say that a person of color can't make it anymore, because when you're a president, you've kind of made it. And when you're an attorney general, you've sort of made it. But instead of saying, look, let's celebrate how far we've come. Let's now realize that we can focus on individual achievement and opportunity. Instead, both the president and the attorney general have made everything about race. And as a result, I think it's taken us many, many steps backward rather than forward.
Well, let me tell our listening audience, we've been speaking with former Governor Mike Huckabee, and Governor Huckabee is going to be here in Greenville on Friday, January 30th. He'll be over at Barnes & Noble, and that's over at the shops at Green Ridge. And so if you want to go over there, it's 12 o'clock noon that he'll be over there, so you can go over and get a copy of his book. Again, the book is called God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy. Governor, when you come to the area, why don't we sit down for a couple minutes and get one of those Chick-fil-A sandwiches? What do you say?
That sounds good to me. I'd love to. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, sir. Well, there was the interview that I did. We pre-recorded it on Monday, which, of course, was Martin Luther King Day, as I alluded to in the interview. And so we recorded it then, and then I was under agreement not to actually release the interview until the book has been released. And so the book is released today, and so it's okay then for us to put the interview out there to talk about the book. Now, I do have to mention a couple of things. You know, when I have these political guests on like this, I'm not endorsing in any way that political guest, at least in this case. I'm looking for somebody who is much more overt with conservative message and principles that I'm looking for. So I wanted that to be clear. The other thing is, with Governor Huckabee's book, There were a couple of things that I take exception to. One is, you know, he makes the points about Beyonce and Jay-Z and so forth that we talked about in the book, and how that our society has gotten to be crude. I agree with that basic premise. I just don't know that when you're writing a book that obviously is being used as part of the campaign for running for president, I don't know that those types of things are the types of things that I want to hear him articulate in the presidential campaign. I understand. I appreciate that he's against the crudeness and the culture and so forth, and you know, these types of things. But I'm not going to get behind a candidate just because he is going to make some comments about you know, vulgarity and crudeness in our modern culture roundabout. I need more than that. It's got to go much deeper than that. Second thing is, there is chapter in that book that I really took exception to. And let me tell you what it is. The chapter title is just unacceptable. And a lot of people are commenting on this on my Facebook post as well. But the chapter is titled this. It's "Bend Over and Take It Like a Prisoner," is what chapter 10 in the governor's book. That is crude language. And that type of language in a book that is talking about that our society has now gotten into using crude language, to me, is unacceptable. And I hope that Governor Huckabee retracts that statement. That's a very serious issue. We're talking about when you say a statement like that, that's referring to men that have been abused in the prison system and so forth. And I don't think it deserves to be a chapter heading in a book. Now, he goes on to talk about the TSA and things like that. And, you know, okay, we can say that their practices may be over the top and so forth, but we don't need to get crude in the way that we talk about it. And so there's my caveat on the book. I don't recommend it for that reason, and for a couple of the other reasons that I've already mentioned. But I wanted to give Governor Huckabee to speak for himself the opportunity to do that. I'll probably do that with many of the other political candidates as well. Let them come on and let you hear in their own words what they have to say. Let me say this, that the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you next time right here on Knowing the Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.